This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. We'll also get into the big three, Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and Patrick Mahomes, the three big players for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is where I'm at. Maybe it goes with your thing about running the ball. Because I actually think that's a problem with the Chiefs. I think it's one of their biggest problems. I think it's on both sides of the football. I think that football, in all its changes, is a big man's game. I think at the essence of it, it comes down to who controls the line of scrimmage and who can impose their will on the other team. I think the biggest problem right now for the Kansas City Chiefs is a fourfold problem. I think it's number one. They can't control the line of scrimmage to run the football effectively. Whether they should run the football effectively, whether they're choosing not to run the football effectively, I don't know. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, teams are coming in here, and the run discrepancy between them and the other team is so out of whack, and that's what damages the time of possession. The Colts came in here and ran the ball incredibly effective. The Chiefs had no running game to speak of yesterday against the Texans. The exact same thing happened. Carlos Hyde dominated the running attack, and you couldn't dominate it. It's also twofold on the other side of the line of scrimmage. The Chiefs can't protect their own quarterback. Like, I remember yesterday during the game, Nate Burleson was talking about his ankle, and he was asking the question about Mahomes. I don't think it's that Mahomes is trying to throw off balance and do all these different things. I don't think Mahomes trusts the guys in front of him to step up in the pocket consistently and make good throws and clean throws from a clean pocket. I don't want to say it's happy feet, but I think he gets more skittish, and I think he trusts his own physical ability more than he trusts the ability of the guys in front of him. It's also then on the other side. This team doesn't get pressure on the other team's quarterback, and this team allows anybody to come in and run the football effectively. One of their biggest problems is controlling the line of scrimmage, whether it's offensively or defensively, and that's a problem that has to be fixed ASAP.
Yeah, and they're terrible at both of them, much worse than I thought they were going to be. And the passing game has certainly taken a step back the last couple of weeks. The pass defense has actually been a relatively pleasant surprise. Bashaud Breeland, if he could stop the penalties, that would be nice that he's had the last couple of weeks. But the problem is clearly running the football and being able to stop the other team from running the football. And I'm not sure how that gets fixed. It's going to certainly help when Eric Fisher gets back on the offensive side, when Chris Jones get back. But this team's going to have to make a move. They're going to improve drastically either one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to make some kind of move. I don't really know if there's a move to make when it comes to the offensive line. Like, I legitimately don't know if there's a move to make. When it comes to the defensive line, man, it's quite simple. And I made this point last week about the trade deadline. Man, at some point, the guys you pay got to step up. Like, man, we're at the point where Frank Clark, that they just need you to go out here and do something. They need you to make a play. And it is absolutely unacceptable. It defies logic how everybody in the NFL can get pressure on Deshaun Watson. I'm not saying you got to come out here and you got to sack him seven times, but for the Chiefs to not register a quarterback sack against the Houston Texans should be embarrassing to everybody. It should be embarrassing to Frank Clark. It should be embarrassing to Alex Okafor, Emmanuel Ogba. It should be embarrassing to everybody associated with that defense. The defensive line was supposed to be the elite unit on this team. I know they don't have Chris Jones anymore, but there's enough talent, there's enough smart people in that defensive room to come up with a plan to at least pressure and hurry Deshaun Watson. One of my big things coming into this game was, can the Chiefs take away one thing that Houston wants to do offensively? They couldn't. They couldn't limit Deshaun Watson whenever they really needed to throw the football. They couldn't stop them from running the ball. Houston could do whatever they wanted to offensively, while the Chiefs, outside of the first 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes of the game, they couldn't get anything going offensively that they wanted to do.
And it's going to get worse before it gets better. Lindsey, Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, the next four running backs the Chiefs have to face. And without Chris Jones in there, man, Frank Clark, like I remember on Friday we were talking about this, saying, how are they going to get to Deshaun Watson? Your answer was, everybody gets to Deshaun Watson. He's been sacked 80 times in the last year and a half. But the Chiefs pass rush, C-Dot, last year, was the one thing. And I mean the one good thing that this defense did. They led the league in sacks. Without D Ford, who, by the way, has 3.5 sacks, a sack and a half yesterday. Without Justin Houston, who, by the way, you could argue won the game last week at Arrowhead. We knew that was going to be an issue. We also thought Frank Clark was going to be significantly better than he has been, where so far the Chiefs have paid him $1 million for every solo tackle that he's made. At some point, he's going to be better, but I also knew this was coming. I knew this was coming. As soon as the team started losing games, we were going to point the finger at somebody, and certainly you're going to point at Brett Veach, and some of it's going to get pointed at Andy, and some of it's going to point at that guy. Now it's getting pointed at Frank Clark, and quite frankly, he deserves it.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of this, man, when it comes to line of scrimmage, so Nick Jacobs from Action 41 News, he had this stat. So these are the three last games that they've lost. The AFC Championship game that you said came down to a coin flip. Mm-hmm. Man, a lot of it came down to their inability to stop the run and their inability to get off the field on third down. In the AFC Championship game, New England ran the ball 48 times for 176 yards and had time of possession of 43 minutes and 59 seconds. Against the Colts 2 weeks ago, 45 runs, 180 yards, 37 minutes and 15 seconds time of possession. Yesterday against Houston, 41 runs, 192 yards, almost 40 minutes in time of possession. I don't think the blueprint is out to stop the Chiefs offense, but the blueprint is out to stop the Kansas City Chiefs and how to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. At this point, it's happened so many times, it can't be random. Like, it can't just be happenstance. Maybe we could say that against the Lions, even though the Chiefs went down and won that game, but the Lions did something similar. 35 runs for 186 yards. Teams are coming in here. It doesn't matter if Sutton, doesn't matter with Matt House or Brandon Daly. They know they can push you around at the line of scrimmage. They know they can run the ball effectively. They know they can control time of possession. At some point, you got to stop what another team's game plan does. How many times have we talked about the Patriots and what makes Belichick so good is Belichick takes away one thing you really want to do well and forces you to go to plan B or plan C. When does the Chiefs defense do that? When do they take away plan A for a team? They didn't do it last week against the Colts. They didn't do it 2 weeks ago against the Lions. They didn't do it this week against the Houston Texans. When does the Chiefs defense come in with the mentality of you're not going to be able to do X and then they execute whatever X is?
I'll take it a step further. How have the Chiefs adjusted at all this year to teams adjusting to them? Because I'm with you. There's not a blueprint. You have to have really good coaching, really good players to beat this team. But teams have adjusted, right? They know they have to run the football, time of possession. What have the Chiefs done to adjust? What moves have they made, especially in the last couple of weeks? Time of possession? No. Running the football? No. Stopping the run? No. They've tried the same thing, got the same results.
Yeah, no, that's 100% fair when it comes to that. But I look at this team right now, and that just really, really appears to be their biggest problem is just running the football and stopping the run, as you alluded to, being balanced. It's one thing when if you can stop them from being balanced. Houston was incredibly balanced on both sides of it. They could run the football effectively, and they did run the football effectively. They also were able to protect their quarterback and get good quarterback play yesterday, and that's not what you were able to do. That's where it has to start. And BK, I thought you made a really good point last week, and it applies again today. Some of their problems when it comes to stopping the run and being physical, at some point, I don't know if it's a coaching thing or a mentality thing, but it has been constant despite whoever was in charge. Like, this team and the run defense, we could go back here, and I'm pretty sure I could find you a quote from Derek Johnson about how this team needs to stop the run. What was the stat from Sam Mellinger yesterday that only one player on their team has ever been in a Chiefs uniform with the run defense higher than 25th? It doesn't matter if Sutton's in charge, doesn't matter if Spagnuolo's in charge, doesn't matter if they pay D Ford or not pay D Ford to bring in Frank Clark or Tyrann Mathieu, or doesn't matter if Eric Berry comes back. If you play on the Chiefs defense, for some reason, teams can come in here and feel like they can run the ball successfully against you, and there's no reason to think that they can't.
No, and it's the guys that have run the football, which is a scary thing, because Carlos Hyde, I mean, the Chiefs gave Carlos Hyde $800,000 this offseason, and then they let him walk. And we all agreed that was the right move to make, and he came back and rushed for over 100 yards, and he had that done through the first three quarters. And Kerryon Johnson for the Lions became the third Lions running back in 100 games to rush for 100 yards. That's the problem. This is not the who's who of running backs. As long as you're a who, as long as you've got two legs and a heartbeat, you're going to rush for 100 against this team.
Yeah, I mean, that should be the belief. That should be the understanding for every team in the NFL, that if you play the Kansas City Chiefs, like, you have enough examples of this model to believe that you can successfully do it.
Again, and they're not even going to try to run the ball against you.
Again, I don't even – it's not that I think that there's a blueprint to figure out the Chiefs' offense. Like, I don't really have a whole lot for the Chiefs' offense this week. Last week, I was critical of the Chiefs' offense, and I think there was reason to be critical of the Chiefs' offense. But this week, their offense just wasn't on the field enough. Like, I don't know how I can expect this offense to score 40 points if you have the ball for less than 20 minutes every week. Like, that's just not realistic to hold the offense to this kind of expectation. The defense just hasn't shown the ability to lock down and really hone in and be able to stop one good thing. And you were asking me earlier about whose defense was better, last year's defense or this year's defense. Man, maybe this is way too simplistic, but this is where I'm at. At this point, I don't care whose defense was better or worse. If you think last year's defense was better, cool. If you think last year's defense was worse, cool. That's perfectly fine. That is nothing for helping the 2019 Chiefs. And we can get to it in a little bit. Brett Veach had one responsibility with this team. That was to get the defense right to complement the offense. And so far through the first 6 weeks of the season, he gets an F for that. There's no other way to put it. There's no waiting until the Packers game if you're me. You get an F. Your job was to get the defense right to help the offense. The defense didn't help the offense yesterday. You left a lot to be desired. Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest, and we'll get deeper into Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and Patrick Mahomes, the big three with the Kansas City Chiefs. We're done next. Coming up,
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we will get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. First, let's give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Text the word CAP, C-A-P, CAP, to 72881. That's CAP. You can be the $1,000 cash winner of the national cash contest. 610 Sports Radio is the only radio station in Kansas City talking Chiefs and giving you a chance to win up to $8,000 each weekday. All you got to do is listen in on the 30s from 7A to 7P. Your next chance to win is coming up tomorrow at 9:30 on Fesco in the morning. Complete rules and listings are over at 610sports.com. One more time for those of you keeping score at home. CAP, C-A-P, CAP, C-A-P, CAP, C-A-P to 72881. Sean, what is your favorite baseball cap?
The old school teal Seattle Mariners cap that Griffey Jr. wore backwards in the Home Run Derby.
I like those. I like those.
What's your favorite cap?
I like those.
Who calls them a cap, by the way, besides our grandparents?
I like the Houston Astros one with the H. I like those. I like those uniforms. I'm a big fan of those. Yeah, no, those
good
are
cap.
Those are good caps.
Old school Orioles with that funky looking bird.
Yeah, no, those are fine. Those are fine. Coming up a little bit, we'll get back into the defense. But let's do this. So you've been ready to talk about Brett Veach, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
This is where I'm at with Brett Veach. Maybe we can start here. I think that Brett Veach, this is his mess to fix. If you look up and down this defense, and we can look at the snap charts if you want, and I'm sure that'll be riveting radio. But with no Chris Jones yesterday, understanding that he's a big part of the defense, everybody else on that defense is Brett Veach and Andy Reid appointed. From Frank Clark to Tyrann Mathieu to Juan Thornhill, that's Brett Veach's defense.
Yeah.
Brett Veach had one simple responsibility. One responsibility. It was to get this defense right. The offense was in place. The offense was set. They didn't really have any major attrition in the offseason. They had to replace Mitch Morse and Chris Conley. I could have replaced Mitch Morse and Chris Conley on this team. It wasn't that big of a deal. He had one responsibility. You had a first-round pick for the first time this season. You had all the cap space you could ask for in the world. You had to put together a defense that was going to be average. It wasn't even like people were asking them to put together the 11th best defense in the NFL. They were asking you to be average. You didn't do this. This is your mess. You fix it. It's that simple when it comes to Brett Veach. You guys know where I am on Sammy Watkins. We can get into that. But the number one responsibility, I could even live with the Sammy Watkins stuff. I don't like it. I could live with it. Brett Veach had one responsibility and one goal, and that was to get this defense right. And so far, the early returns is you failed.
You say fix it. This is the guy you trust to fix it? I mean, it's your only option at this point, but how much trust do you put in a guy that went out there and decided Frank Clark over D. Ford or paid Sammy Watkins or paid Damian Williams or chose D. Spagnuolo as a defensive coordinator or paid Frank Clark? Like, every single move that this guy's made this offseason has pretty much blown up in their face. Now, there have been a couple that have been okay. Like we pointed out, Juan Thornhill's at least been on the field. LeSean McCoy has been a nice addition to the team. But the truth is, Carrington, for the position that he took over, the team was already really good, right? They already had the coach in place. They were coming off of a couple of back-to-back division champions. He just had to get them over the hump. And so far, there's not a move or two that I can point to and say, this is what Brett Veach did in the offseason that's actually made this team better.
I'm just not giving you any stripes for signing LeSean McCoy in the offseason.
It's just, that might be it.
What I'm saying, but that wasn't your responsibility. When they lost the AFC Championship game, I was not there, but this is what I'm going to guess happened. Brett Veach sat down. I'm going to assume that the guy, Eric Stonestreet from Modern Family, wasn't in the room and they weren't filming the franchise. And they had an honest conversation about what they wanted to do. And BK, we talked about it. They wanted to clearly set a tone and a precedent for the kind of player that they wanted. They went out and they got Tyrann Mathieu the first available day of free agency. They went after Earl Thomas. They traded the first round pick. They then completely rehauled their defensive line. Like, this defensive line, aside from Chris Jones, was completely has been rehauled over the offseason. Okafor wasn't here. Agba wasn't here. They completely tried to rejuvenate Tonto Passanio's career. Like, this is a Brett Veach problem to deal with and a problem to fix. The problem wasn't, hey, let's go get a running back who we think can maybe rush for 800 yards this season. You had one response. If you didn't do anything else this offseason, your responsibility, your sole task was to get this defense to around 18th in the NFL. Does anybody feel like they've done that right now?
No.
Does anybody feel like Brett Veach delivered his side of the ball? If Andy's side of the ball is the offense, I know the offense isn't playing at lead, but they still have a good offense. And Veach's responsibility for the defense to get that right, he hasn't done that, man. And that deserves major criticism.
And Andy's not completely void of blame, because I've been talking about for the last 2 hours and 35 minutes, the play selection has been terrible, whether they're talking about at the end of the half or the end of quarters or just not running the football at all. I mean, you got to run the ball more than 10 times. I don't care if you've got the best passing attack in the history of the NFL. You have to run the ball more than 10 times. And it's who's running the football and it's how they're running the football or the lack of carries. Like, if you sign LeSean McCoy and you tell us that he's going to be your feature running back and he averages 5.5 yards per carry, why has he only carried the ball 8 times in the last 2 weeks? Or if you pay Damian Williams last year and you tell us this year he's going to be your starting running back and he's finally healthy, then why did he only carry the ball 1 time yesterday? So I'm not going to pretend like I know and I don't have the solution to the offensive side of the ball. When it comes to the defense, it's just as big of a problem, if not CDOT, a bigger problem than it was a year ago. We talked about this whole offseason, the same thing. They don't have to be great. They don't even have to be good. They just have to be average. And right now, what does this defense do that's average? They don't get to the quarterback like they did last year. The secondary's okay, but only okay because we're comparing it to the run defense, which is all-time bad. And if you want to break it down with individual players, was letting Dee Ford walk the right move to make? Was signing Frank Clark the right move to make? Like, when it comes to Brett Veach, at some point, you have to actually be held to the accountability from the fans. And so far, he has not held up his end of the bargain.
I mean, the Chiefs made a gamble, and they rolled the dice in the offseason. They had the best pass rushing unit, at least according to the numbers, in sacks and pressures in the NFL.
And then he won his own guys.
They rolled the dice to dilute that just a little bit. And let's call it what it is. If you can't get a single sack against the Houston Texans, you can't get pressure on the quarterback. Like, there's no other way to put it. Everybody gets pressure. Alabama would get pressure against the Houston Texans offensive line. If you can't get a pass rush against the Houston Texans, then you don't get pass rush against just about anybody.
And if you give up 100 yards to Carlos Hyde, you don't stop the run against anybody.
So last year, though, they could use sacks to mask some of the problems that they had defensively.
Yeah.
Like, last year's defense was not good. We all know this. I'm not telling you anything new. But they could use pressure. They could use some different blitzes. They could use some different schemes to create and generate pressure that alleviated some of the pressure from the offense and could get you off the field. They don't have anything that can get you off the field right now. Like, how does this team get off the field other than them making a mistake? Honestly, how do they get off the field? They don't get off the field by stopping the run. The other team doesn't even get to third downs. Like, how do they get off the field right now? Like, they don't have a single thing that they can do defensively that they can rely on. There's not one thing that they don't cover well, they don't tackle well, they don't defend well. There's not one thing they do defensively that they can really hang their hat on and kind of lean on in a good time. And it kind of reminds me of our conversation last week with Bill Moss. Like, you are what you practice and you are what you emphasize. Man, we were told that Spagnuolo was going to come in here and they were going to have these stunts and they were going to be aggressive and they were going to turn Frank Clark and Chris Jones into Strahan and OC or Justin Tuck. Have you seen any of that?
No.
I haven't seen any of that with their defense. I can't stress enough. So you might say I sound like a broken record. If you can't get pressure on the Houston Texans, what team in the NFL can you get pressure against? Everybody hits Deshaun Watson. Everybody. If you can't do that against this team, it's fair to expect that you can't do it against anybody.
Well, what do these guys do better, Carrington, than the guy that they replaced? Like, if you're the same guy that you replaced, then you shouldn't have replaced him in the first place. What does Spags do better than Sutton? Sutton took a lot of crap in this town. Sutton was the scapegoat in this town for the last 5 or 6 years. I'm asking this seriously, not rhetorically. What does Steve Spagnuolo do better through the first 6 weeks as a DC that Bob Sutton did not do? Put his players in the best position to succeed? Stop the run? No, that's not the answer to the question. And when it comes to Frank Clark, dude, that's Brett Veach. At some point, if you don't like the employer, you have to blame the boss, right? The guy that made the hire. And Brett Veach went out there and decided that instead of having a first and a second round pick, and essentially instead of having Dee Ford, he'd rather have Frank Clark. So you have to blame him for that move, too, because there's a reason why Seattle, who's the probably second most consistent NFL organization in the last 15 years behind the Patriots, was willing to part ways with Frank Clark. Like, I'm not sure if Brett Veach did his homework on that guy.
Let's get into Andy Reid, because this is kind of where I'm at with Andy Reid.
All right.
I maybe have less of a problem with him than you do, but he certainly is in the conversation. You probably have more issue with them running the ball than I have with it. I think a lot of it is due to the fact that they can't trust their offensive line and just don't really trust their ability to consistently run the football. With that being said, my biggest issue with Andy Reid is, if you don't think you can run the ball, okay, that's fine. We now have examples in two back-to-back football games in which they run the ball at the most inexplicable time.
Yeah.
Whether it was against the Indianapolis Colts and they ran the ball on 4th-and-1 when it made absolutely no sense why they would take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hand and try to let Damian Williams go run the football. Or it's this week. They ran the ball on a 2nd-and-14.
And that was one of the 11 runs they had the entire game. And that was 5 minutes left.
It just comes off to me like they don't have a plan when it comes to running the ball. That, again, I'm probably a little bit on BK's side that I don't really think they should be running the ball 25, 30 times. It's not really how I think this offense works, nor do I think that's the most effective way for them to do it. But you at least can't run the ball at the most inexplicable times. And them running the ball on 2nd-and-14 was absolutely embarrassing. And part of your coach's job is to put players in a position to succeed and to elevate the play of your players. I don't think he did that in those two separate instances, and that's a problem.
Do you think Andy got out-coached yesterday by Bill O'Brien?
I don't know how you could look at it any other way. One team came in it, 100% executed their game plan, the other one didn't. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it doesn't sound cool to say that Bill O'Brien out-coached Andy Reid. I just don't really know how you can look at that game and come to any other conclusion.
The balance was much, much better for Houston. They passed the ball 42 times. They ran the ball 41 times. Now, to be fair, that means they had the ball for 83 plays. The flip side is the Chiefs had the ball 40-something times. So that was the key to the game. I think that the Texans did a really good job of taking things from other teams that have kept the game close this year. Like, Baltimore did a lot of really good things against the Chiefs, but they lost. The Lions did some really good things, but they lost. And then finally, Indy cracked the code. I thought Houston Carrington did a really good job of taking little things from each of those teams and then also playing in their own game, letting Deshaun Watson be Deshaun Watson, getting the running game out there. And I think that Houston had pretty much a perfect game plan, to the point where yesterday is the first time in Patrick Mahomes' entire career that at halftime, I thought they were going to lose the game.
I mean, I think that the Lions cracked the code. They just made a couple of mistakes. Like, Pat had the ball at the end of the Lions game. The fumble happened that they returned. I mean, that was a 14-point swing. I'm with you. I understand, like, it's a results-oriented business, and the Lions didn't beat the Chiefs, and these other two teams that beat them. But, yeah, the Lions showed you the game plan to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They just didn't do enough late to go ahead and do it. It's not like they really cracked some great code. It's control time of possession and dominate the line of scrimmage, and that's what we've seen these last couple of weeks when it comes to the team. But back on Andy Reid, I mean, that's really where I'm at. I understand why people are upset and all this kind of stuff, but that's kind of where I'm at. Like, if you are going to have the power that Andy Reid has on this team, nothing happens without your approval. You don't trade for Frank Clark without your approval. You don't sign Tyrann Mathieu. BK, remember whenever Tyrann Mathieu and Earl Thomas talk about what got him here and he said Andy made the call? Like, man, nothing on this team happens. Andy was the one that didn't want to pay D4. Remember that story from Peter King where Peter King was like, Andy told me, and I heard from people close to Andy, that he doesn't want to pay D4? Like, I understand that he's the head coach and we typically give him more credit for the offense than the defense, but think about it. The GM is his boy. He's known the defensive coordinator. I don't think that their defensive coordinator job was open. I think they knew who they were going to get once they fired Bob Sutton. They never really interviewed anybody to see who the best fit was. Andy knew who he wanted. Andy's fingerprints, talk about Veach's fingerprints, are all over this team. He shares in a lot of the blame, too, with what's going on with this team.
And he's a really good coach, but he's not perfect. And we knew that when the Chiefs got him several years ago. And the flaws are the same thing, aren't they? You're talking about he abandons the running game and clock management, and it's the exact same issues. And that's certainly a concern, because we've been talking about since the AFC Championship game last year, it's the Chiefs, it's the Patriots, or it's the Patriots, it's the Chiefs. Then there's a big gap, and it's everybody else. And after what I saw yesterday, and maybe this is just, you know, what I saw most recently, I don't see how anybody can say the Chiefs are an even better football team than the Houston Texans after yesterday afternoon.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. So Patrick Mahomes, he's the last of the big three. This is where I'm at, because you kind of brought in the thing about Deshaun Watson out-dueling Patrick Mahomes. Maybe this sounds like I'm caping for Patrick Mahomes, and I promise I'm not. I don't really think that's what happened yesterday.
Really?
Like I don't think that Deshaun Watson outplayed Patrick Mahomes. I don't really think the offense had the ball enough for us to really make any definitive statements on their offense. They had the ball less than 6 minutes. Less than six. This segment that we're doing right now is longer than the Chiefs' time of possession in the game. Honestly. I listened to this. I was very curious. The Chiefs had the ball for 1 minute. Was it 25 seconds in the fourth quarter? I played Purple Rain because I wanted to know like when Prince started singing. Prince doesn't even start singing in the first 90 seconds of the song. Like that's how long the Chiefs had the football in this. So I understand that the offense has to be elite and they got to score 30 and they got to be the best unit in the NFL and I get all that. And I'm not explaining the three and outs that they had. I'm not saying their offense played perfectly. Man, it's hard to score 40 points when you got the ball for 19 minutes. They've been playing football games at Arrowhead since 1977. The Chiefs had the ball fewer in that game on Sunday than any other game in the history of Arrowhead Stadium. That's not all on the offense, man. A lot of that is on the defense here. I'm with you with Mahomes. I know he's not playing how he was when he won MVP. I just don't know what expectation there is for your quarterback when he's given all the limitations the Chiefs currently have.
Well, you know who's in control of the offense and the defense, right? That would be the head coach. He's also the guy that chose to only run the ball 11 times. And frankly, two of those were busted plays. So they actually only chose to run the ball 9 times. That's the problem. You have to adjust when other teams adjust to you. And so far, the Chiefs haven't done that, whether it was yesterday in a vacuum where what did Houston do? Put up 20 straight points after the Chiefs got the big lead, or even week to week. That's been the problem so far, as teams have kind of started to figure out how to beat the Chiefs, run the ball, control the clock, keep Pat off the field. And what does the Chiefs do to counteract that? Absolutely nothing.
My biggest frustration right now with the offense is very simple. I don't think their offense, aside from Mahomes being great, really does anything well. I think their offensive plan right now is especially the way that they've run the football these last couple of weeks. I think their plan is Mahomes, you got to go be one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL and we have no chance to win the game.
That's how they won 12 games last year.
That's just not realistic though. Like that's just not a realistic and a plan that you can sustain over a prolonged period of time, especially if he's not going to have the ball to be great. It's hard to be great and score 40 points in 19 minutes like they're asking this offense to do to really prop up and balance the defense. It's hard to get an offensive rhythm when you have the ball for so few amount of times throughout the course of the game. I'm asking this honestly. Aside from Mahomes being great, what do you think this team does really well? I don't think they've been incredibly well coached, at least not the last 2 weeks. They don't run the football. They don't block. They can't protect their quarterback. They can't stop the run. They don't cover incredibly well. They're not well-disciplined enough to not commit penalties at a high rate. For 3 weeks there, they couldn't hold on to the football. Like, what do you think this team does really well? What can they hang their hat on? What can they really lean on as a pillar of success for this team? I don't think it exists right now.
They give up running yards at a higher clip more than almost any other team in the history of the league. And quite frankly, this isn't the same Pat that we've gotten used to. You mentioned he had to be super Pat and the guy that puts the game on his right shoulders. That's why the Chiefs won 12 games last year, because Pat was the best player in the league, and he's got the MVP trophy to prove it. Right now, he's limping around. He's hurt, even if he won't say so. His offensive line is patchwork. He hasn't had all of his wide receivers on the field at the same time for a game yet this year. He had them for 5 minutes week one versus Jacksonville. So if we're asking Pat to be invincible, I think we're asking him to do too much.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly what the plan is. I mean, I'm asking honestly, what do you think they do really well? Like, what's the second best thing this team does really well? After Mahomes being great, what's the second best thing they do really well? BK, you know? Like, after Mahomes and him going out and doing some miraculous stuff that nobody can make, what's the second best thing this team does right now?
Their safeties are pretty good.
Yeah, I don't got anything.
I'm not
being funny at all. Like, that's I know this sounds crazy. The second best thing they do is prevent big plays in the passing game.
And like, I mean, I know people
that
like
it seems crazy that we've arrived at this place, but that's it. Like, the gap between what Mahomes does well and what the second best thing is on this team is as wide as any team in the NFL right now.
That I don't really want to be woe is me radio guy, but like I'm legitimately asking the question. Like, over the last month, they just haven't really done anything consistent and play at a super high level. Like, someone just said screenplays. I guess they're okay at it. Like, this isn't a really good defensive team. Their special teams have been really bad, and we haven't really been talking about how bad their special team is. I tried to bring it up a couple times. BK was like, no one cares about it. Like, all right, that's fine. We don't got to talk about their special teams.
They didn't. Now they do.
Yeah, I mean, like, what do they really do incredibly well that, like, part of the responsibility of Andy is you got to get back to some basics, and you got to establish what kind of team you are. Like, I don't know what their identity is as a football team. Last year, I knew what their identity was, and no one could stop it. Like last year, you knew what the Chiefs wanted to do offensively, and you still couldn't really limit it. Or maybe you could limit it for 15 minutes or 30 minutes. You couldn't limit what the Chiefs wanted to do for a full 60.
I think the answer is the same thing, though. It's just we haven't seen these guys healthy. Like once Eric Fisher's out there, the pass blocking is going to be better. Give Pat more time. Sammy's been Sammy, which means he's been off the field for half the games. Tyreek Hill just got healthy this week. I think once he's got all those guys, and we haven't seen the huge game out of Travis Kelce yet, the thing this team does well, really well, is pass the football. Not today.
But your margin for error when that's the plan is so incredibly slim.
Especially if you don't run.
That so many things have to go right. Like, so many things have to go right. It's not even, I think, anything's wrong with Kelce. I just think teams are doubling them. Teams are betting on the fact that DeMarcus Robinson is not going to beat you or Mecole Hardman can't beat you. They're putting extra attention on Travis Kelce, and then they're daring you. Especially if you're not going to run the football, you're not going to be balanced. So there's no threat for the run. There's no threat for play action. And this team's not getting big plays down the field anymore. They're keeping guys in front of you. I mean, Hill only really had the big, big play was that incredible catch. I'm not saying that was the only big play he made throughout the course of the game. I'm talking like down the field threatening kind of play. Like they just haven't been able to really hang their hat on anything that they want to do offensively or defensively, aside from Mahomes go be great.
They looked his way, though. Like he had 10 targets Absolutely. Yesterday, and he caught 5 of those for 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. And, of course, the play you're talking about, which was awesome, that kind of Hail Mary. So I think that now that Tyreek Hill is back, he becomes an integral part of this offense like we saw yesterday. He's option number one. But once you get back Sammy Watkins, once you get back Eric Fisher, the offense should look a little bit more like we've gotten used to.
Here's what Mike Golic had to say earlier today on ESPN.
One thing to get manhandled on defense by the Indianapolis Colts on their offensive line, it's another to allow the Texans to have a 100-yard rushing day on you in a spot where you need to go out and back up your quarterback right now. You know, in most instances, Patrick Mahomes is going to be the reason that you win games, but you have to stop being the reason you're losing games. And right now, that Chiefs defense can't really seem to get out of that mode.
And I made a lot of excuses for the defense early on. I actually think the defense was playing a little bit better early on than they're currently playing. So I don't know if that counts as excuses now at this point. But the defense is the reason they lost yesterday. It's reason 1, 2, and 3 why they lost yesterday. People keep saying, well, they forced 3 turnovers. You didn't watch the same game that I watched then. I'm sorry. Like I mean that with as much respect as possible. If that's your stance is the defense wasn't that bad yesterday, they created 2-3 turnovers. You didn't watch the game. Like, you did not watch the flow of the game. You didn't watch the synergy of the game. You didn't see how Houston was able to really move the ball and do whatever they wanted throughout the course of the game. We weren't watching the same football game, if that's your takeaway. The Chiefs defense is the biggest problem. And simply, the offense asked the defense to do its part and play complementary football. They spent a lot of money and a lot of draft picks this offseason with Brett Veach just trying to get their defense to be average. It's kind of like, and I mean this like not no disrespect towards Kansas, it's kind of like with Kansas. You're not asking Kansas to be Clemson. You're not asking them to be Alabama. You're asking them, hey, once every 3 years, can you make a bowl game? Like, that's a very low expectation for any Division I college football program. Can you make a bowl game every once in a while? Chiefs fans are asking their defense, can you be 25th? Can you be 24th in the NFL?
That's all I'm asking out of the run game. Can you just be 23rd? Can you be 25th? Can you do something? That's what I'm saying. I don't need to be great the same way about the defense. As long as they're middle of the pack, this team is well-coached enough, talented enough on the offensive side of the ball that they can have deficiencies, but they can't just completely abandon these things.
I think their run defense is worse than their run offense.
I don't know, man.
Oh, way worse.
I think that's a hell of an argument to be had. They're both terrible. They're both terrible.
They can manage their inability to run the football right now. They can't manage the run defense.
They don't even try to run the football. Other teams do try to run the football and have a lot of success. What's it like now? Like 5.5 yards per carry? They might have the worst run defense and run offense in the league to this point.
I mean, like, if I had to press a button right now in the Kansas random hypothetical button of which one I would fix, I'd fix their run defense and it wouldn't be close.
BK, does anybody have less rushing yards in the NFL this year than the Chiefs? I just know the last 2 weeks they had 53 rushing yards. Yesterday, I think they had, 49, something like that the week before. I'd imagine that probably somebody does, but not a lot of teams have rushed for less yards than the Chiefs or gave up more yards than the Chiefs.
Chiefs are 24th in the NFL in rushing this year.
Which one would you fix if you can only fix one?
I'd fix the run, D. I mean, the passing game is all-time good where you should still be able to put up 25, 30 points a game in theory, even if you don't run the football at all. The run D, you can't keep allowing Carlos Hyde and Kerryon Johnson to rush for a $115 or a $140 every single week.
Their run defense is the number one problem with the team, and it's not close.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I would say their run defense, of all the teams that have a chance to win a Super Bowl, is maybe the biggest flaw of any of those teams. Like, if we made a list of all the teams that could win the Super Bowl, The Chiefs' run defense is probably the biggest problem. Aside from certain injury stuff, like the Saints aren't winning the Super Bowl with Teddy Bridgewater as their quarterback. Like various things like that. But I'm saying is, this is what you do. This is what you do poorly. These are your weaknesses. These are your strengths. The Chiefs, of all the Super Bowl contenders, their run defense is by far the biggest weakness. That's the reason they lost on Sunday.
It's not even close. It's the same reason that last year, and last year the team was much better than we thought they were going to be, but it's the same reason we talked about the secondary eventually ended up costing them at least going to the Super Bowl, if not having a parade. Right now, you can say the same thing about the run D, that the rest of the team is good enough to still win football games and, hell, to probably win a championship. Not with that type of run D.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It is The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.